Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. It is evening in the Feywild. The night falls again, and Tamaris is getting the ritual tea ready to commune with the Archfey of the Gloaming Fey. O sent word that the meeting is going to happen in the Realm of Dreams. As per O's instructions, only Tamaris will be able to go.
Tamaris' eyes sparkle with determination. His mind races as he recalls the instructions from O. He pours the ritual tea and takes a small sip himself. He can feel the magic begin to flow through his body, and he knows that his time in the Dream Realm is coming. He steps out of the small clearing, where everyone else is resting. In the moonlit glade where Olo had said the meeting would take place, a beautiful aura shimmers before Tamaris's eyes. He approaches it with an almost reverent awe. He can feel that he has come to the place where his fated encounter with the Archfey is supposed to happen. He kneels down to the soft grass and closes his eyes for a moment. The energy of the dreamscape washes over him like waves, and he is filled with a hope that this journey is the right one. He takes a deep breath and speaks his name so that the Archfey may find him in this realm of dreams.
Rest well, my friends, the bard says softly as his companions retire for the night. He walks to the edge of the campsite where he sits and strums a gentle melody. Tomorrow will be a day of new challenges and revelation. His eyes flutter close as the lullaby of the strings carry him into slumber.
As the dream settles, Tamaris finds himself on the grounds of Frostburn Academy.
I am here. The dream is real. He murmurs to himself. He approaches the place where Olukoye told him to wait for the Archfey. The air here is crisp and cool, with a subtle elven magic lingering. It is eerily peaceful here, the academy standing in a timeless moment.
A sudden and inexplicable warmth washes over the place, and a radiant figure steps forth from a shimmering veil of light. Tamaris, she exclaims, her voice soft and melodic as if singing the most beautiful of songs. She stands tall and ethereal, her form shimmering like the light of a thousand stars. Elara runs towards him, with wide eyes, tears streaming down her face, as she hugs him tightly. Tamaris, she sobs as she holds him. Her hair falls over her shoulders, and she presses her cheek against his chest, trembling in his embrace.
I never thought I'd see you again, Elara, he murmurs with a quiver of emotion in his voice. I never wanted to leave you behind, He trails off and hugs her back, his arms encircling her. He takes a moment to gaze into her eyes, searching for answers to questions he has long been burdened with. But you're alive, I saw you die, in my dream last night, and now, I don't understand. His voice cracks slightly as the weight of the moment settles upon him.
Elara pulls away slightly from Tamaros's embrace, and wipes away her tears. Her amber eyes filled with confusion and disbelief as they lock with his. I don't understand this myself, Tamaris. This place, this moment, it doesn't seem real. It seems like something that should be happening in another dream. She takes a deep breath, her brow furrowed in concern.
Oh, the two of you are reunited again. How cute.
Stay away from her, you bastard. I won't let you hurt her again. Tamaris bares his fangs and his eyes shine with an unnatural fire. He steps in front of Elara. He stands defiantly against the devil.
Elara looks over Tamaris's shoulder as the devil approaches, a gasp escaping her lips. Mr. Red, her voice rings with shock and fear, her amber eyes wide and full of apprehension. What are you doing here?
Why, my dear? I thought you wanted to be reunited with your childhood sweetheart again.
What? No. I don't know what you did to my dream, but I don't want any part of this. Please, just let us go.
You son of a bitch. You twisted and manipulated Alara's dream to use her as leverage against me. His voice is trembling with rage. Leave her the hell out of this. She never signed up to be your pawn.
Oh, are you being the noble man and going to take her place? I only need one of you to return the ruby to me.
Ruby? Alara asks in confusion, glancing between Tamarus and Mr. Red. What ruby are you talking about?
Think, Alara. I told you about it yesterday. It isn't hard. The one that Caleb cast into the abyss. Something that powerful will never be lost forever. And you are the ones who will find it.
Caleb's ruby? What are you talking about, Tamarus? We can't find a lost ruby. That's impossible. This is a trap, isn't it? She turns to him with wide eyes, her hands grasping at his clothes, as if seeking reassurance or strength from him in this moment of crisis.
Tamarus turns to Alara, his face twisted with pain and anguish as he looks into her eyes. The memory of his nightmare, Alara's death, it all comes crashing back, threatening to consume him in grief.
Do I have to paint a picture for you? Are you the densest of all your companions? Eons ago, Asmodeus stole a piece of the abyss. It started the blood war. He placed it at the head of his ruby scepter. It was his staff of office. It bound all of the devils to him. When Caleb killed him, he cast it out of the nine hells.
Ilera's eyes widen, in shock and disbelief, at the revelations being laid out before them. She can hardly process the information, her mind racing, as she tries to reconcile the pieces of this twisted puzzle.
We must find a way to end this nightmare, once and for all. His voice is resolute and filled with determination. He takes a deep breath, gathering his wits around him, focusing on the task at hand. Alara, I need you to go find our companions. Wake them up. Tell them that Mr. Red is back, that he has returned with his wicked scheme. He pauses a moment, before continuing with urgency. We must gather everyone, for together, I have a feeling we may have the power to face the darkness that threatens to consume us.
Mr. Red strides confidently and grabs Tamarus and pulls him away from Alara. You have no power here, tiefling. Your very blood comes from my plane. He turns his head towards Alara. And you, girl, you might as well go back crying alone. You wouldn't know what to do with power if you had it.
With a grunt, he breaks free and swings back to face the devil. I'll tell you what I won't do, Alara. I won't watch her die again while I'm helpless to do anything. Tamaru's voice trembles with anger as he looks at Alara. I can't bear that.
I won't let you fight alone, Tamarus. I'll stay with you and help you stop this monster. She grits her teeth defiantly. Beside us, we don't have to do this the way he wants us to. If he wants the ruby back so badly, let's figure out a way to return it ourselves. I'm sure there must be some way to end this without all of us dying. With a deep breath, Alara steps towards Mr. Red and raises her hands, her voice ringing with a power and conviction that seems beyond the norm for an ordinary human. Her lips move silently for a moment as she speaks the words to the ancient banishment spell she had learned long ago, the words flowing from her as if she has recited them 1,000 times before.
Mr. Red smiles a dismissive smile. You think you can do that, child? As he speaks, a circle forms around his legs, binding him to the spot.
He nods in agreement as he looks over at Alara. Their bond has deepened with each challenge they have faced, and with every nightmare she has endured. And this, perhaps the ultimate nightmare, would not be different. They would stand against the darkness together, unbreakable, until the light of dawn brought an end to the nightmarish delusions that threatened their lives. And perhaps in the end, they could find a way to break this twisted cycle that bound them together with threads of fate and destiny that seemed as unbreakable as the threads that weave together the stars themselves.
Her eyes glow with the energy of her magic, her fingers splayed wide, reaching towards Mr. Red. The words of the spell, ancient and powerful, flow from her lips like a river of truth and righteousness, washing over the devil who stands in defiance against their will.
His hands are balled into fists as he watches Alara struggle, her spirit unwavering despite the pain and exhaustion that must be gnawing at her. He takes a step towards the circle that has formed around Mr. Red, his claws lengthening as he prepares to fight the devil alongside his friends, the two of them a formidable force against even the most evil of adversaries. He brings up his silver hexblade and swings it at Mr. Red with a low battle cry, his magic crackling along the blade as it bites deep into the devil's side. The force of the impact sends him stumbling backwards, blood splattering against his black armor as he grunts in pain, his smile now replaced with an angry grimace.
Fool. He spits back as Tamaris stabs him in the back. He backhands Tamaris, sending him flying. I may not be able to harm her, but I sure as hell can bring you down with me. He reaches out, grabbing the tiefling. You banish me and your boyfriend here comes to hell with me.
No, he shouts, as he feels the ground slipping away from his feet, his arms outstretched towards Ilara as the darkness begins to pull them down, dragging them into its embrace. Time seems to slow to a crawl in the moment before they are yanked apart, and yet in that same instant, everything feels as if it is happening all too quickly. His friends, his companions, all slipping away from his grasp, the nightmare taking them once again into its clutches. No, damn you. I won't let you have them.
Ilara struggles against the force that binds her, her voice ringing with determination as she calls out to her friends. Tamaris, stop it. You can't do this. It won't bring us closer to the truth of what's happening. Her eyes narrow in concentration as she pours every ounce of her will into the magic of her spell, fighting against the pull of the nightmare, refusing to be torn away from the man she loves.
For the first time, Ilara sees the very weave of magic that goes through the world. It is shimmer and swaying in this demiplane. She sees clearly the thread that binds the devil to the nine hells, just as she sees Tamaris's thread bound to the material plane. As she watches, she sees the devil's power pulling at the thread and pulling Tamaris down to the nine hells.
As she watches the threads, she understands how to stop the nightmare. And a cycle. No, she whispers to herself, her eyes wide with realization and determination. No, I won't let him have you. Her hands tremble slightly as she concentrates on the threads she has just come to understand the true depths of their power and magic. Tamaris, she calls out, her voice ringing with power and conviction, a fierce urgency in every syllable. Close your eyes. Close your eyes now. As the darkness begins to pull Tamaris down into its embrace, Alara's voice rings out across the realm of dreams with an ancient chant that echoes the very first words ever spoken. Banish this accursed spirit. May its light be forever extinguished from this world and all the worlds to come. Depart, you unhallowed fiend. Keep perhaps I name thee and banish thee to the nine hells, and to the farthest reaches of the astral plane, henceforth and forevermore.
I see you, Tamaris shouts defiantly as he watches the darkness begin to pull him away from his friends. I won't let you win. Not while I still have a breath in my body and the strength to fight.
Alara's eyes radiate with pure arcane energy. The tether binding the devil now drops like an anchor, pulling him back to the nine hells. His body elongates, and his face shows the signs of intense agony as he strains against the powerful magic.
Come to me now, my love. Ilara cries out as she reaches towards Tamaris, her eyes glowing with the power of the spell as she pours all of her energy and emotion into it, willing him to return to her.
As the tether pulls at his soul, the silver hexblade still clutched in his hand, Tamaris feels the pull of the dream begin to dissipate, the threads of reality reknitting together once more. I'm here. I'm right here, Ilara. Just keep believing, keep fighting. His voice rings out to her through the dream, echoing the depths of the bond they share.
Tamaris finds himself sliding towards the devil, his silver sword held tightly in his hand. He has mere moments to act, to make one final movement to break free of Mr. Red's grasp.
For Ilara, and for us all, Tamar shouts, his voice filled with resolve as he lifts the silver hexblade in one final blow. By the light of the moon and the power of the stars, let us put an end to this darkness forevermore. With a final defiant cry, Tamaris brings up his silver hexblade and plunges the shimmering tip into Mr. Red's heart with a swift, deadly motion, his magic crackling and flaring around the weapon as it bites deep into the devil's flesh. The force of the impact sends the devil reeling backwards, a pained growl escaping his lips as his life begins to drain away in the form of shadowy blood that sprays out around the blade.
The impact of the attack sends Mr. Red falling backwards, finally loosing his grip on Tamaris' silver cord.
Tamaris stumbles forward, his balance thrown off by the force of his own blow. He gasps for breath, his silver hexblade still clutched in his hand, its blade shining with a faintly pulsing energy that reflects the glow of Alara's eyes.
And in the next moment it is over, the grounds of Frostburn Academy fall silent and the stars return.
As the nightmare dissipates, Alara finds herself standing on the peaceful grounds of Frostburn Academy, her chest heaving with the force of her breath as she watches the last remnants of the dream fade away. Her eyes search desperately for Tamaris, her heart racing with the fear of what has happened to him, only to be met with a sight she could not have possibly imagined. The man she loved standing before her, his silver sword held tightly in his hand, a faintly pulsing energy still radiating from its blade.
As Alara rushes towards him, Tamaris cannot help but smile at the sight of her, his own exhaustion and relief evident in his eyes as he wraps his arms around her, pressing her against him in a fierce embrace. His silver hexblade still clutched in his hand, the weapon trembling with the aftershocks of the spell that had bound them together in the depths of the nightmare.
In that final moment, all of the years that have separated them, all of the emotions and reasons fall away from the two.
My love, my beautiful Alara, he whispers as he holds her close, his voice thick with emotion and the memories of everything they have been through together. I knew you would always be here for me. No matter where I was or what I was going through, you were always by my side, your love a beacon in the darkness. Thank you. He kisses the top of her head tenderly. Thank you for saving me.
Alara clings to him, her eyes shining with the tears of relief and joy, as she buries her face against his chest. Tamaris, I'll always be here for you. No matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, I'll wait for you forever. Together, we will face anything life throws our way.
It seems fate made the right choice choosing the two of you.
The voice of the Witch of Destiny speaks in three voices at once.
Tamaris and Alara pull apart slightly at the sound of the voice, their faces turning towards the figure that stands before them. His heart races as he recognizes the form of the Witch of Destiny that Ol had spoken of earlier.
You were told to come alone, but I see that you brought another with you.
He glances at Alara before turning to the Witch of Destiny. I know you were right about her being someone special, but I couldn't leave her behind. She was in danger, and He trails off as he looks into her amber eyes. I care for her in a way I can't explain.
It seems fate had a way of binding the two of you together.
Tamaris and I were once in love, but circumstances drove us apart many years ago. When I arrived here and found him, I had never stopped loving him. I knew I had to help him, no matter the cost.
He smiles at her as he listens, a mixture of love, gratitude, and hope in his eyes. He turns to face the Witch of Destiny once more, ready to hear whatever fate she has in store for them. Then you must have known about me, and that we would find a way to be together again one day, he says in a tone that suggests he has been waiting for this moment, the words he wants to express finally able to come from his heart.
You will need him before this fight is over. And he will need you. That is the way, two bound together by the threads of fate.
She steps forward, her eyes meeting with the Witch of Destinies, an understanding shared between them. We understand. Together, we will face this challenge and overcome it.
We have some questions, he says hesitantly, glancing towards Alara for confirmation. The ruby, what is its significance and where exactly is it now? He asks first, his mind already racing with thoughts of how to retrieve such a powerful artifact and bring it to the Feywild.
Her eyes narrow, with a mixture of curiosity and concern, as she adds her own questions to Tamaris's. We also want to know about this nightmare we experienced, about Mr. Red, and the darkness he brought with him. Is he somehow connected to this artifact you speak of? Her voice trembles slightly, with the memory of the nightmare and its implications.
I warn you, I will give you three answers. I will grant you the knowledge of the fates, which is more than just mere words. Choose well what you wish to know.
We'll ask for the information about the Ruby Scepter and the Nightmare, please.
Yes. If you have the answer to how the Ruby Scepter was sent to the Abyss, what role it plays in the Blood War, and who Caleb was and what was his relation to it, his voice trails off as he thinks about the information that Ol had shared with him. He glances over at Alara, seeking her permission to add more questions, before turning back to face the Witch of Destiny. We'd like to ask about Corillon and the Spring Fae, if we could, as well. And, if you have any information about this savior of hell that the prophecy speaks of.
Yes, I'd also like to ask about how we can stop Mr. Red from returning, and the danger he poses. Her brow furrows as she ponders the three questions that will have to remain unanswered for now. She turns to Tamaris with a nod of acceptance, her gaze full of the same determination that he has come to know and love in her. I suppose we can't ask everything at once.
But what about Corallon? He murmurs with a frown. The thought of leaving that piece of the puzzle unsaid a discomfort he can't ignore.
She adds her own concern about Corallon and the ongoing war in the Feywild. Tamaros is right. We can't ask for too much at once. But there is one more question that we should ask while we are here.
He nods in agreement, a determination shining in his eyes as he looks up to face the Witch of Destiny again. Yes, we'll ask about Corallon, about stopping the war that seems to be consuming the Feywild. He speaks confidently, as if he already knows what the answer will be. Perhaps it's the hope and faith they've been building up over these long days, but they can't help feeling a deep certainty that fate has chosen them to be the ones to bring peace and justice to the world they both love.
So, what is the question?
His heart pounds in his chest as he formulates the words he has been waiting to ask for so long. What is the significance of Corallon in a Spring Fae, and how can we stop the war that's ravaging our homeland and bring peace back to the Feywild? He asks with a deep conviction, the weight of the responsibility of being the answer to this question evident in every word he speaks.
Corallon was a god before. But when the powers of the gods were waning, he chose to embrace the realms of Faerie and became an archfiend. He chose to maintain his godhood, and when the powers of the gods returned, he was much stronger. The courts rule the seasons, and one can never be stronger than the others. This unbalanced the Feywild. Even without wishing so, his forces sought new land, so they invaded the lands of the other core. In order to maintain control, Corallon created an avatar, a figurehead who would hold his spark. That figurehead is vulnerable, even if the god is not. Eliminate the avatar, and you will eliminate Corallon. Then the seasons will return to their natural balance, but one must take his place.
She nods slowly at the witch's words, her mind racing with the implications of what she has just learned. She turns to Tamaris, seeking his strength in this moment of revelation. So, this avatar of Corallon? It would be like defeating him in a way?
Then we must go and find this avatar, he says with renewed determination, his mind already planning the next steps.
You have two more questions before the night is over.
Her eyes widen slightly in surprise, and then narrow with focused thought, her mind racing as she tries to choose between the two remaining questions she has for the witch. Okay, she murmurs softly, her voice filled with a deep concentration. I want to know more about the Ruby Scepter and Caleb and Asmodeus. What was so important about this artifact that it sparked a whole blood war? And was Caleb just a normal warrior in that war? Or was there something more to his story?
As Alara speaks, a flash of realization comes over him, the pieces of this puzzle falling into place with a satisfying click in his mind. You know, he says thoughtfully, it occurred to me, what if the whole war was caused because Caleb discovered something about the ruby? Something that would have made Asmodeus very happy? Maybe Caleb took it and tried to use it against him.
That is an interesting point. But still, the fact that this artifact would cause such a brutal and destructive conflict is mind-boggling.
His mind is still racing, trying to find all of the pieces to this complex puzzle. Maybe there's something more to it that we don't know. Like if the ruby was a key of some sort, something that held the power to control or influence the very fabric of the multiverse.
Her eyes light up at the thought, a spark of intrigue igniting in her mind. That could make sense. It would explain why Asmodeus was willing to go to war over it, and why Caleb was determined to destroy it.
He turns to the Witch of Destiny, eager for her input and guidance. We have a lot to digest here, but if we're to make sense of any of this, we're going to have to put our minds to it. What more can you tell us about the Ruby Scepter, Caleb and Asmodeus? And how they all fit into the grand tapestry of this blood war.
The blood war was an ancient conflict dating back to the very start of reality. Asmodeus was an angel for a god who has been lost from history. Even the fates don't know who he was. All we know is that the god was gone, and Asmodeus took over his domain and turned it into the nine hells. Asmodeus coveted the power that flowed from the abyss and journeyed to the very heart where he stole a connection to the realm. This turned the angels who followed Asmodeus to the devils you now know. The gods intervened, but to prevent a war between the devils and all of the heavens, they gave Asmodeus a sacred task to guard the prison of Tharizdun, the mad god, who first attempted to claim the power of the abyss. That turned out to be Asmodeus' undoing, as the god was freed from his prison, and for a time banished Asmodeus to it.
His mind is still racing, the pieces of this complex puzzle clicking into place in his thoughts. So, if Asmodeus had this sacred task to guard a mad god, how does the Ruby Scepter come into play?
Asmodeus was eventually freed from the prison, but it took all of the powers in the heavens to bind Tharizdun once more. This proved to be too much for the heavens, and that is when the powers of the gods waned.
She listens intently as the witch shares this ancient tale, the weight of it settling heavily on her shoulders. She can feel the past events of this great conflict washing over her in waves, and in this moment of great weakness, Caleb must have taken advantage, using the Ruby Scepter, to turn the tide against Asmodeus.
Caleb was a mere mortal at the time, but when the powers of the heavens fell, he took advantage of it. He slew a number of deities growing ever more in power. That was until his brother almost ended the multiverse.
The revelation sends a shiver down her spine, her heart racing with a sudden surge of fear. She turns to Tamaris, her eyes filled with concern. So, what you're saying is that there could have been an even greater catastrophe waiting to happen if the war between Asmodeus and Caleb had not been brought to an end.
The traitor legion bound the nine hells to the far realm and unleashed the cursed aberrations to the world.
His face is grim with the weight of this revelation, the consequences of this ancient conflict weighing heavily on him. If that had happened, there's no telling how the world would have changed, or if it would even have survived in its current form. He shakes his head in awe and disbelief at the scope and scale of what has transpired throughout history. That's incredible, to think of all the worlds out there, each with their own stories and conflicts.
It's so hard to wrap my mind around it all, she says softly, her voice filled with a mix of awe and fear at the knowledge of the many worlds that exist beyond the ones we know. But what we have to remember is, we can't let the past determine our future. She adds with a determined expression, her eyes meeting with Tamaris's. We have to learn from what we've learned, and do everything we can to prevent similar conflicts from erupting again, even if it means risking everything ourselves.
Caleb journeyed with a small band, and recaptured his brother's mind from the far realm, and used his connection with it to obliterate the mind of the far realm, eliminating the threat. He was changed by the events forever. No more was he concerned with the blood war or feuding devils, for he knew a much greater threat was always on the horizon from the aberrations. In response, he killed Asmodeus and took the ruby rod, declared the blood war over, and cast it to the abyss. He has since journeyed to the living fortress in the astral sea and has stood guard over the far realm, attempting to eliminate any influence it has over the plains.
His mind is racing with a flood of thoughts and questions that threaten to overwhelm his senses. He can hardly believe the incredible story that the Witch of Destiny has shared with them, a tale filled with epic battles and powerful beings who wield the very fabric of reality, as if it were an extension of their own will.
Caleb chose to leave the Nine Hells, the plane where he is a god, in order to protect the universe from what he sees as the biggest threat of all.
She listens, her eyes wide with awe and wonder at the story the witch tells. She can hardly believe what she has heard. The tales of gods and demons, of battles that have shaped the very course of existence for untold eons. She turns to Tamaris, a fierce determination burning in her eyes.
His mind is still reeling from the sheer scale and scope of the events that have unfolded before him, his thoughts racing as he tries to find some way to make sense of it all. He looks over at Alara, the spark of determination he sees in her eyes inspiring him to action once again.
The ruby rod has a will of its own, and it hates being cast out. It intends to bring about the end of Caleb itself, and ensure that it is again wielded by one of great power.
His brow furrows as he contemplates the implications of the witch's words. So, what you're saying is that the ruby itself has a sort of consciousness. It can think, and plan for itself.
Objects of such power often have wills of their own and wish to alter the flow of history to their own liking.
She shivers at the thought, the implications of the ruby's consciousness sending a chill down her spine. This changes things, Tamarus. We can't just let it lie there waiting for whatever power-hungry being comes along next. Her eyes widen in a moment of realization, a plan starting to form in her mind. We have to take action.
This was your second question. What is your third?
Our third question is about the savior of hell. He says with a frown, how exactly does the prophecy speak of him, and what role do we have to play in fulfilling this role?
The savior of hell is the one destined to claim the ruby rod of Asmodeus. It is the one the rod will return to, and so the one who will choose the destiny of the nine hells.
Then, we were destined for this. Elara, the prophecy said I would come with another from the mortal realm. He turns to her with a smile. I think you just became an integral part of that prophecy.
I just hope we don't disappoint the fates, she adds with a determined grin. And I'm still a little scared, to be honest.
Our deal is now done. You have what you came for, mortals.
His heart is racing as he contemplates the revelation of the Witch of Destiny. He turns to Elara, seeing the same shock and wonder reflected in her amber eyes. Do you think that prophecy is finally being fulfilled? He asks with a determined expression. That we, Elara and I, are meant to be the ones to end the blood war once and for all.
Elara and Tamarus once again find themselves alone in the dream of Frostburn Academy.
Her heart pounds in her chest as she takes a step towards him, her eyes meeting with his, a mixture of determination and fear reflected in their depths. If this prophecy is true, then we have a responsibility to fulfill our part in it, she says softly, her voice trembling slightly with the weight of the knowledge she has just acquired, to help put an end to the endless cycle of violence and destruction that has consumed the nine hells for eons.
I know, he murmurs with a sigh, his shoulders slumping as he contemplates the enormity of the task ahead of them. But it's not something to take lightly, Elara. He reaches out to her, taking her hand in his as he speaks. We have no idea what we're really up against, or the kind of power we're dealing with here.
With that, the long history between Tamarus and Elara seemed to fade away, and in this one moment, the two are together again after so long.
As he looks into Elara's amber eyes, he can hardly believe that she has been by his side. Through all of the trials and tribulations that have befallen him in the past few years, from the moment that they were pulled into this nightmare world until now, when they stand on the precipice of fulfilling a destiny that has been laid out for them from the very beginning.
She returns Tamarus's gaze, the fear and uncertainty in her eyes, gradually giving way to a determination that she had never known she possessed. I know, and I don't have to tell you how scared I am, right? She says with a nervous smile, her hand still clasped tightly in Tamarus's. But we've faced so much already together. We've overcome so many impossible obstacles. And I think we'll be able to face this one, too. Her voice trembles with emotion, but there is a resolve in her words that leaves no room for doubt about how she truly feels about this path they have been chosen to walk.
He nods, his heart swelling with a newfound strength as he listens to the words that pour from Elara's lips. I know we can. I wouldn't be here without you. Not just as a partner or an ally, but as someone who means the world to me. His voice is soft, almost reverent as he speaks, his hand tightening slightly on hers. We've been through so much together already, Elara, and we'll see this through too, together.
A warm smile spreads across her face as she listens to Tamarus's words, a sense of peace and hope settling over her like a blanket as she feels his strength and determination envelop her. I love you, Tamarus, she says softly, her amber eyes shining with a depth of emotion that goes beyond mere words. Not just for who we are right now, but for the man you've always been, the one I fell in love with so many years ago, the man who has been by my side through the darkest moments of my life. She steps closer to him, her heart pounding in her chest as she looks up at him with unwavering love, and the man who is going to lead me into the next chapter of our journey together.
The two share the night together in this dream world. As it fades away in the morning, they each wake up with this new connection between them. End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.